You're going to need your passport.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If you travel to Canada at all, you might want to pay attention to this summit today in Mexico. President Bush is meeting with Mexican President Vicente Fox and Canada's new Prime Minister, Stephen Harper. Harper and Bush will get a little one-on-one time this morning, and I guarantee you they'll be talking about upcoming changes to border security. Steve McNally reports from Toronto.
By law, anyone crossing the U.S. border as of 2008 will have to show a passport or other federally approved identification. Americans crossing into Canada, even for just a day trip, will need the documents to return home. At nearly $100 a passport, Randy Williams of the Tourism Industry Association of Canada fears the majority of Americans won't bother to cross.
For a family of four or five, that's $400 or $500 that will certainly stop them from wanting to travel the border.
Canada's tourism industry predicts losses of $2 billion a year and hopes the Harper Bush summit will head that off. They're not alone.
I think it would be disastrous.
U.S. Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont says border states will also pay dearly in lost visits by Canadians. He's hoping the rule will be delayed until a much cheaper ID is found. In Toronto, I'm Steve McNally for Marketplace.
This Dubai ports issue has really shaken up the whole concept of international business deals. What role should national security play? Some senators think Congress should have more power over foreign deals, and they'll start debating changes to the rules today. But big business is saying, whoa, now let's not go crazy. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Some major league members of the business community have weighed in, warning senators not to put measures in place that would discourage foreign investment in the U.S. Peter Morisi teaches business at the University of Maryland.
A lot of financial institutions stand to gain a great deal by foreign acquisitions of U.S. companies because they're in the merger and acquisition business. They have a lot to lose if foreign investment is discouraged in the United States.
But he says financial institutions must tread a fine line between appearing greedy and making the case that the system shouldn't be changed too much.
For example, the notion that the Pentagon should be able to review acquisitions I find frightening because the Pentagon doesn't really give adequate weight to commercial considerations.
Morisi says the problem isn't that the current system is broken, it's that in the case of the Dubai ports deal, people didn't observe its rules. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Former Disney CEO Michael Eisner has a new show on CNBC. Have you seen it? Apparently not. The program debuted Tuesday with the worst possible score on the Nielsen rating system. That would be a zero. Less than 100,000 people tuned in. In fact, 400,000 people changed the channel when the show came on. CNBC says it isn't worried, though. They claim a lot of high-powered decision-makers caught the show, and they aren't measured by Nielsen. Across the board, investors were in a buying mood on Wednesday. The Dow climbed 61 points to 11,215. The Nasdaq gained 33.5% to 2337. The S&P 500 was up 9 to 1302. Google plans to raise a couple $1 billion in the next month. They'll sell 5 million more shares, mostly to mutual funds, now that they're going to be on the S&P 500. This is Marketplace. A lot of health insurance plans have shaky coverage in the area of mental illness, but a new report suggests there may be no incentive to provide more. Helen Palmer now from the health desk at WGBH.
Researchers from the University of Maryland studied what happened when equal mental health coverage was mandated for federal employees in 2001. Psychiatry professor Howard Goldman.
There was no increase in use or spending attributable to the parity policy.
The federal employees spent less out of pocket, but Goldman says the extra cost to the plans wasn't enough to push up premiums. Mental health parity is a policy hot potato. Business interests oppose it. Helen Darling of the National Business Group on Health.
The biggest problem with mental health benefits is not necessarily the cost. It's the flexibility to provide some services and not others.
Darling says mandates steal that choice from employers. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic. Alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. Helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. A lot of water cooler talk this week about illegal immigration. at the Congressional Water Cooler, the Office Water Cooler, in the streets of cities across the country. Hundreds of thousands of people are protesting proposed changes to the laws. Personal finance expert Chris Farrell joins us now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Would you say this country faces an immigration crisis?
The immigration crisis is not the 11 million illegals that right now is exciting the press and the politicians and the water cooler conversations that you were just mentioning. The crisis has to do with legal immigration. We have, in a post-9/11 world, put up all kinds of barriers to skilled immigrants coming here. We need to open up our doors and have more skilled immigrants. And you know what? Illegal immigrants is an important issue, but when you're talking about economic growth, vitality, the future of this economy, let's focus on legal immigration.
So what exactly are the obstacles to getting more skilled immigrant labor into the country?
Well, there are a couple of things that happened in the post-9/11 world, one of which is we made it much harder for overseas students to come here and get their PhD in computer science and engineering and a number of other subjects. The other thing that we have is this H-1B visa program, which has been dramatically cut back. And this is a temporary program that allows skilled workers to come here. So you're a Silicon Valley high-tech company and you want an engineer, has a particular set of skills, you can bring them in under this program. But the problem is it's a very small quota. So here's the suggestion. First of all, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. And let's just wrap it into a much bigger employment, legal immigration front. I don't know. Maybe we'll bring in 1 million a year. Who knows? Big number. Forget the quotas coming from individual countries. If lots of engineers from China want to come here, let's welcome them into our country.
But Chris, right now there is already a backlog for legal immigrants trying to get into this country. And the president's talking about a guest worker program that would place more of a burden on the system. So how is this going to work?
I mean, I think the president's proposal is a very serious proposal. He's to be applauded for this. I'm against the guest worker program for a very simple reason. You create sort of a dual class. I think it's far simpler. Let's take the guest worker program, we'll wrap it in, and we'll increase our number of legal immigrants. We will just make that a bigger number. We're not going to have any guest workers. We'll increase our number of legal immigrants, and then we're going to get tougher on the border. We're going to get tougher in terms of dealing with undocumented workers, but that's not our focus. We are missing an opportunity, and let's get some more skilled workers coming here, working here, paying taxes.
Okay, Chris, thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you very much.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. Perhaps you have some thoughts you'd like to share? Well, just boot up the computer and send us an email. The address is letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
In an area visited by millions of eager tourists.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.